things I do. She loves to lie beside me almost every night.
So, Dr. Firestone, you've been sharing with us that a lot of people do find themselves engaging in a fantasy bond, even if they're not aware of it on a conscious level. But there is a better way, you were sharing with me.
There is. And there's a real contrast between behaviors that fit real love compared to a fantasy bond. You know, one is that in a really loving relationship, we are open to our partner. We're open to hearing what they have to say to us, getting feedback. We look for the kernel of truth in what they have to tell us instead of pointing out the flaws around the edges. When we're in a fantasy bond, we tend to shut them down. We tend to be closed to hearing what they really have to say to us, or we get very defensive, and that pushes them away. In an ideal relationship, we are honest. Our behavior and our words match, so if we say we love them, we actually do behaviors that are loving and kind toward them. In a fantasy bond, there tends to be a lot of duplicity or mixed messages. I love you, but I don't have time to spend with you. I really care about you, but I don't want to hear what you want. I just want to do what I want. That's not love. When we're really in love, we're respectful of the other person as a separate person, so what lights them up, makes them happy, matters to us. We do things because we know our partner would feel good from them, not just because we would feel good from them. It's not selfish in that way when we're really in love. But in a fantasy bond, we often, see our partner only in terms of ourselves. Are they meeting our needs? Are they doing what we want? Are they making us happy? And we don't see them really as the separate person that they are. When we're really in love, we have loving behavior. We're often affectionate with our partner. And whatever sexuality between us is open with a give and a take between us. Whereas when we're in a fantasy bond, it becomes often less affectionate, often less sexual, or more mechanical, you know. We give them the peck on the cheek as we walk out the door because that's what we do every morning, not because we want to show them love or we're feeling it in that moment. And also, when we revert to patterns of submission or dominance in our relationships where one person is, you know, the person who's in control or has all the power or is a spokesperson for the relationship, that's very different than a more equal relationship. And real loving relationships need some equality. Where there's a give and take. We need to maintain, you know, our sexual interest in the other person and keep that spark alive. And we need to keep lighting up when we see them and really be, you know, see them as a separate person that we're happy to interact with. When we do those things, research has shown that we can keep love alive for the long term, and we can have a really satisfying relationship. And when we've, you know, gone off the mark or gone away from that in our relationships, we can come back to it by breaking whatever patterns we've developed of. We talked about withholding a little bit earlier, but it also could be that we just shut down with our partner or we withdraw, or it could be that, you know, we forget to do those little acts of kindness with them, you know, just bringing them a cup of tea in the morning or, you know, whatever it is that they would like, you know, giving them that hug that would matter to them, engaging in that activity because it would really make them happy. Those kinds of things, you know, we can start to reintroduce into our relationship. If one person's become the spokesperson, we can switch it up and the other person has to decide. Often people both think they're trying to please their partner, by the way, and neither of them is really getting what they want. And that's the most, you know, unhappy situation because they think they're trying so hard, but each of them is trying to do what they think the other person wants, but not what the other person really wants or what they want. And that's where we need to improve our communication with one another. In our e-course that we developed about the fantasy bond, we really try to help people understand how this operates in their relationships, how it developed early on, and what they can do to make better relationships for themselves and for the people they love.
I think it would be great for a lot of people to participate in that e-course, too. Can you give us the details of how they can get involved?
Yeah, they can go on our website, psychalive.org, and Look at our new e-courses. This one's launching on November 29th, but people can register anytime. If they register soon, they get an early bird discount for that. And we charge way less for our e-courses than many people do because we just want to make them available to people. And, you know, then they can access it anytime. You can do it at your own pace. It has lessons. It has an exclusive interview with my father, Dr. Robert Firestone, the theoretician who came up with the concept of the fantasy bond, also a psychologist. It can really help you have better relationships with your love partners, with your children, and with your family, for that matter, by breaking down illusions of connection and replacing them with real, loving connections.
I love it. Dr. Lisa Firestone, as always, you have been great. Thank you so much for joining me today and talking about fantasy bonds and how to break those bonds so that people can get into the fulfilling, loving relationships that so many want. And, ladies and gentlemen, remember the e-course at psycholive.org. Thank you again, Dr. Firestone.
Oh, you're so welcome, Carl. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Quite welcome. Till next time, everybody.
And I can't remember.